appreciate it. Better yet, the Lord appreciates it. Bible says when we pray to him, it's just like a sweet fragrance that goes up to him and smells good to him. So anytime we lift him up, whenever we sing, and it's a sweet fragrance to him, all right? Amen. Yeah. I always smell that stinky. Do you, Fred? I always smell nothing stinky. I don't. All right. These past weeks, well, the past few months, we've been talking here in Bible study. We've been talking about the different names of God. I mean, you can't really put a lid on it. You can't contain him. I mean, all those names are so glorious. I mean, they're all so profound. They all got merit to them. They're all his nature. From A to Z. God's our everything. He's my everything, all right? I don't know about y'all. He's my everything. He's my everything. He's my everything. He's my everything. He's my light and darkness. He makes my pathway bright. You know, I mean, I've been through some things. Y'all know it. Yeah. But he's made my pathway bright. Okay? Okay. Amen. All right. Ain't about me. Let's go on and talk about this here. Let's talk about the lesson. I'm sorry, but we've been talking about the names of God. And like I say, all those names, I mean, it's all about his character, about his merit, the things that he will do, the things we can't do without him. I mean, it's just, anyway, tonight we're going to talk about everywhere God. God is everywhere. And I'd like to start out with first scripture verse. Let's go to the last book in the Bible if we could. Let's go over to Revelations, please, y'all. Revelations chapter 1, verse 8, I believe it is. Yeah. 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 Romans chapter 1, verse 8. And this pretty much just answers it all. I mean, This is what the Bible says in verse 8. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's God. God is everywhere. I mean, it's just funny. You know how you can talk to your grandkids. I mean, and Grace, you know, he don't say too much. But when he says something that's pretty profound. And, Pastor Rod already asked me about this lesson. I didn't know what I was going to say or nothing like that. And Dre just sat down beside me. You know, he's been coming to Bible school all week and everything. And then he said, Papa, where's God at? You know, just plain and simple, where's God at? And I tried to explain to him that God is everywhere. Well, how can he be at two places at the same time then? And I said, well, because he's God, you know, but I left that alone because it would just keep on piling up and I keep on digging deeper and I wouldn't be able to get my way out of it. But in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, let's go ahead. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Do y'all know anybody like that personally? Y'all know, y'all got any friends and neighbors that are like that, who is and who was and who is to come? You know anybody that can make that type of promise or even give you that even type of a minuscule offer like that? I don't either. Come on, y'all. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go into the Old Testament. Please. Psalms 139. Me and my daddy was talking. Me and my daddy and my mom sometimes, y'all, it's kind of funny. We have church on the phone sometimes. It's kind of like a worship. I mean, you'll never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get. When you call Robert Ray, you call Nancy Joe, you never know what you're going to get, what the Holy Spirit's going to say to them, or we're going to have church, or we're going to sing on the phone, or somebody going to pray or something. But it's some type of action going on like that across the phone lines. But anyway, amen. Yeah, I love them for that, too. Okay. All right. Let's go to Psalm 139. And we're talking about tonight, we're talking about God is everywhere. Everywhere God, God's everywhere. This is what the Bible says. It says, I don't know how far I want to read down on this here, but I'll read down to 8. 139, Psalm 139, 1 through 8. This is what the Bible says. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Wow. Come on, I'm going to keep going. Verse 5. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? Verse 8, it says, if I descend into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God is everywhere. Man, that's deep. I mean, when you really just think about it, even before you get a chance to even think about what's going to come off the tip of your tongue, God already knows what's going to navigate out your mouth. That's not good at times. I hear you, Miss Barbara. I know it. I know it, but the Bible also tells me it ain't what we put in our mouths is what comes out of it, whether we're going to bless or curse somebody. At the same time, we ought to be blessing people instead of cursing them. You know, and listen to this part right here. What are we going to run from? Why are we going to run from the Lord? What does verse 8 says? If I ascend to heaven, the highest place I can go, or we can go, if I make my bed in Sheol, if I make my bed in hell, he's there too. There's nowhere we can hide from him. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. He knows when we're doing it in the middle of what we're doing. He's going to know what we're going to be doing afterward. Okay? All right. Roman numeral number 1. Am I wasting too much time? Okay. Roman numeral number 1. Nothing is too hard for God. That's another question Grace asked. He said, is anything too hard for God? Can God pick up anything? Can God do this? Can God run fast? Nothing is too hard for God. Let's go over to Job, please. Let's go to Old Testament again. Over to Job chapter 42, verse 2. Job 42, verse 2. This is what the Bible says. It says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. That's rich right there. I know, this is what Job was saying. He's saying, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Do y'all know about old man Job? Old man Job was the Donald Trump of his day. He was stacked. He had houses and land. He had servants. And then he lost everything. But through all that, Job had lost everything. His wife, he started stinking. He had balls all on. His wife said, well, man, won't you just go ahead and just curse God and just die? And what did Job say? Job said, nope, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until my change comes. And through all that, Job, he's saying right here, and in all that turmoil he's going through, he says, I know, God, that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. That's heavy right there. Nothing is too hard for God. Okay, next Bible verse, next scripture verse I'd like to look at. Come on, let's go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 19, please. Matthew chapter 19. Verse 24. We're going to read verse 24. through 26. Nothing is too hard for God. This is what the Bible says. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to astray you, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do go out. For if they say, look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. Nothing is too hard for God. Come on, let's go back one more time, please. Over to Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. 32:17. Are you there? All right. This is what the Bible says. Verse 17 says, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Amen? Amen. All right. The next thing, we're talking about everywhere. God is everywhere. But the Roman numeral number 2 is God never gets tired. Do y'all ever get tired? You ever feel like you're burning the candle at both ends? You ever feel like you're watching yourself go in and go out at the same time? You ever been there and done that before? This fleshly, humanly body, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, it gets tired. Mentally and physically, we get tired here on planet Earth, amen? All right, but our God, the mighty God we serve, he never gets tired, amen? All right, come on, let's go over to Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. We ought to know this one by heart. This is, are you there? Y'all ought to know this. Everybody's got this on a calendar somewhere, or some plate or some plaque in your bathroom or in your hallway. Huh? You don't have this one? Okay. We're going to read it anyway. This is what the Bible says in verse 28. It says, Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Amen? Amen. So the God that we serve, he doesn't get tired, all right? He's always on the clock. He's always on the go, all right? Amen? Amen. All right. Number 3, Roman numeral number 3. Question is there anything God can't do? Is there anything that God can't do? It ain't? You don't even talk to me. You say no. You always say no. He always said no. He didn't want to shake my hand. Give me no pound. See that? Come on, y'all. Let's look this up. Let's back this up. Let's go to Titus, please, y'all. Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. Titus, chapter 1, verse 2. Are you there? Is there anything God can't do? This is what the Bible says in verse 2. It says, In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have become entrusted by the command of God our Savior. Amen. So God does not lie. All right. Next Bible verse. Is there anything else God can't do? Let's go over to James chapter 1. Please, ma'am. Please, sir. James chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. That's in the back. All right, you there? All right. This is what the Bible says. It says, Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one, all right? Amen. Now, see, I don't know about y'all, but I hear a lot of people say that. I don't care, friends, family members, co-workers, I hear people say that all the time. Well, I guess the Lord must be tempting me. God does not tempt anybody. He allows things to happen in our lives, yes, but he does not tempt anyone. That is something from the devil. That's what Satan does. He tempts, okay? You see, when he tests us, it's to make us better, okay? It's not to make us worse. Amen? Amen. In the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the mess, when it's stinking, when it hurts, it seems like everything, the bottom done fell out. Through that test, somehow, some way, he makes us better through it, all right? That's where the sanctification part comes. That's when it's polishing us up. It's pure gold. That's the part that hurts. It hurts, yeah. I've been through that part, too. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts, yeah. It hurts bad. But we go through it. Amen? Amen. All right. Roman numeral number 4. Evidence of God's power in creation. Okay. Stop right there. Now, where I work at, I get a chance to see all kinds of people, all types of walks of life. I'm thankful to God that he puts me there where I can minister to people right there in the marketplace. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Highway hedges, go out into all the world, preach the gospel, tell people about Jesus. Amen? That's what we're supposed to be doing. But I'm so thankful he put me there because he puts me in the midst of people that don't know nothing. I mean, they come up with some of the most stupidest. I don't even know. I mean, how could they even utter some of the stuff that come out of their mouth? This one guy, he tried to just seriously talk to me, eyeball to eyeball, flat-footed talking to me as a man, trying to tell me that man is a crossbreed between Cro-Magnon men and pigs. On the potato chip aisle. A customer told me that. And I said, man, I thought you were going to tell me something about a Big Bang. But you want to tell me this stuff here? You mean to tell me that you, yourself, and everybody else here in this store and in this state and in this planet are descendants of a crossbreed between a Cro-Magnon man and a pig? Why would you even want to lower yourself to that standard? My Bible tells me that God shaped man from the clay. That means God had some intimate things going on. He put his fingers in the clay and started shaping things up and breathed some spirit into the man and made him a living soul. Amen? Why would you want to even lower yourself? Okay. I'm sorry. But I have a low tolerance for ignorance. Low tolerance. Racism and ignorance are on the same page with me. I have a low tolerance for the wrong guy to mess with when it comes to that. Wrong individual. Don't let the looks fool you. Okay. But anyway, when God tests us, he does it to make us better, not to make us worse. All right? Amen? Now, back to the creation thing. Sorry. This is evidence. Creation should just let everybody that's a scholar or anybody that went to college or tried, why would you want to discount such a beautiful thing? A beautiful thing. Okay. Romans chapter 1, please, Wayne, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. 19 through 20. Here we go. Are you there? That's Romans. All right. I heard you, Miss Bird. We're gonna go ahead. We're gonna honor that. We're gonna go ahead and read. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. All right, verse 20. Here we go. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, even since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made, so that they are not, so they are without excuse, okay? All right. Next verse. Come on, let's go over to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis, first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. 6 through 7. That's in the front of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Okay, this is what the Bible says. We're talking about evidence of God's power in creation. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the water, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And verse 7 goes on and says, and God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were from above the expanse, and it was so. All right? Stay right there in verse 1, y'all. We're going down to verse 9. We're talking about evidence of God's power in creation. All right. This is what the Bible says in verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. We're talking about the evidence of God's power in creation. Okay, Jesse? You with me? Okay, I'm just checking. I was, all right, you're shaking your head. That's good. Amen. All right. Verse 11. We're going to keep rolling now. Verse 11 says, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds and fruit trees bearing fruits, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. Verse 12 says, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit, in which in their seed according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Okay, let's talk about fruit. How many of y'all like peaches? I love peaches. Palisade peaches. I got a case of them, they're getting mushy. I got to hurry up. We got to eat them. Okay, we got to eat them, they're getting mushy. Okay, let's talk about it. Come on, now, let's talk about this. We're talking about God. We're talking about Him and His creation. Now, check this out. Peaches, they come from a seed, right? Peaches, they come from a seed. Yes, they do. Initially, they come from a seed, all right? That seed needs to be planted into what? God's green earth, into His soil, all right? Okay, we're talking parable now. What did Jesus say about those seeds? To spread them out, to plant the seeds, all right? Same thing, going back into creation. That seed, that fruit, when it grows up, it sprouts, it goes toward the light, okay? Us, as believers, the seed, when it's first thrown down into the soil, you know what? We're looking for light. We try to get up into that new light. We're looking up, we're sprouting out. And then when it comes from the sprout, comes this beautiful plant, a peach tree, okay? Beautiful peach tree, beautiful leaves, just like us. We're growing in the Lord. We're spreading out. We're branches. We're getting these leaves. We're starting to bear fruit, okay? All right, fruit. Every time you bite the fruit, you think a fruit's supposed to taste good in this when you bite it, right? Why? Because we have taste buds. We can sense that when we taste it. Now, God's everywhere, okay? Now, you think a Big Bang could make all this happen to where we have all these sensitive intricacies in our tongues and our mouths where we can taste the saliva glands and everything like that to where we can taste this delicious fruit, and then when we chew it, then we swallow it, then it goes down through our esophagus? Do you think a Big Bang could make that happen to where this thing could just be just gently just going down our esophagus, small intestines, that works and everything, helps digest, secrete and everything? Sugar levels. Sugar levels come into play, too, when you eat different things like that. The body has the pancreas and all those different organs. It breaks down all those enzymes and things like that. Do you think a Big Bang can make those things happen? It's too fine-tuned. Okay, let's get back to that seed. All right. How come when we get down to the bottom of that peach down there, y'all, how come we don't eat that peach seed? It's hard. It's not pleasing to our palate, right? What do we do with that seed? That's it. That's exactly it. You plant it. And then it grows again. Okay, God's everywhere. Them dandelions and things blowing out there, that germination and all this stuff that's going on. Think about it, little small things. Okay. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Okay. We're talking about power and creation. Psalm 33. I'm sorry, y'all. This is almost making me want to start preaching almost a little bit this evening. Psalm 33, verse 6. Man, we're running out of time. I got to hear it. I'm sorry. Verse 6. Evidence of God's power and creation. We ain't going to get through tonight's lesson, y'all. Are we? Okay. All right. All right. This is what the Bible says. It says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. Okay. Verse 9. We're going to skip down. Go on down to verse 9. It says right there, for he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Okay. I've been studying this here. I'm trying to get this to prepare to give to y'all. I know I've been wasting too much of y'all's time already. I got a chance to go online. I got to look at the Hubble and look at the galaxies and everything that's way out there beyond everything. And it's just too far for me to even imagine how many miles and everything out there. God spoke it, and bam, they even hung up there. All those galaxies, God knows their names. Every star up there, he claims them. They're his, and it's expanding more and more, they say. That's even beyond my imagination. I mean, it's just getting bigger and bigger. Just amazing. I mean, anyway. Come on, Wayne, next thing. God, what time is it? What time are we for? Am I holding y'all too long? God's preservation, okay? God is everywhere. But what God is everywhere, he provides for us, y'all. Amen. He provides. Come on. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 17. God's preservation. He's everywhere. But this is how he uses some of his preservation. This is what Paul is writing to the church of Colossae. He's saying, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's deep.